You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. ...9:12 on a Friday. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the badass Battle Mug. Gunner's got one. I've got one. 13.5-pound block of T6 aluminum. Then they mill it, machine it, and anodize it. Throw some rails on it, ready to be customized. Now, if you're going to a field guy, right, binoculars... LED light, but you can't use it to hunt at night. Everybody knows that? Okay. And laser rage finder so that you can know what you're shooting at. You can own the bullet. And a cap so that when you do all that stuff, you don't dump your cappuccino right on your ass. Perfect for farewells, commemorative gifts of any kind, promotions, mess nights, retirements, and other special occasions. Check them out at battlemug.com. Type in the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned company, a Marine-owned company, and made entirely in the United States of America. So we appreciate them being a sponsor of All Marine Radio. So with all that said, Michael Musselman joins me now. Gunner, what's up? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just talk to your boy Seeker, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. What kind of Marine was he? Good Marine? Bad Marine?
He's a good Marine.
Was he?
No, he's a good Marine. Yeah.
So you were a corporal and he was what, a PFC, Lance Corporal?
I was a sergeant. Yeah. I don't know where he gets his corporal from.
Well, that's what he said, Corporal Musselman.
No, I was a sergeant.
You're a sergeant on barracks duty?
Yeah. I got there as a sergeant.
And you were never, just for the record, you were never reduced? I mean, at least not during that.
Never.
During not
never reduced.
Never reduced. All right. The, and he wore, what kind of, he wore round glasses?
Yeah, like John Lennon glasses.
Okay, that's not a look that most Marines promote, the John Lennon look.
No, I mean, like you said, the intellectual types.
He is.
Like to pursue that, that look, but.
He's a smart guy too.
Yeah.
Was he a smart guy? Do you remember him being a smart guy? When you think of that name, do you think, yeah, he's a smart guy?
He was kind of, yeah, he was the well-read guy.
Yeah, so, well, you want to know what, that's what got him into, that technical gig was, met a guy and they read Stoic philosophy. That's what they had in common. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the Marine Corps? Anyway, interesting. We asked him, let me ask you this. What's your biggest pet peeve when you watch a show, on TV? Of all the things, crazy things you see, from hand grenades that look like they're napalm shots, right? To shooting people on the move while you're running at like 200 yards with a pistol, all the crazy things that you see. What is your pet peeve?
All of that.
No, give me one. The one thing that you see that makes you crazy.
The tactics, I guess. You know, how they shoot and move, and it's like, oh. Yeah, where in the world did they learn this shit? Weapons handling. I mean, it's all of it. My pet. I don't have just one pet peeve.
You can't have all. You can't say all of it. It's too much.
All of that stuff bothers me.
The hand grenade bothers me the most. The hand grenade and the pistol bother me the most. You see these things hit, and it's like a nuclear. It's like a low order nuclear detonation.
Yeah, holy, everybody flips. I used to call them flip grenades because everybody, all the bad guys would flip through the air. No one flips through the air.
No, and it's a loud noise, right? It's a loud noise,
yeah.
And it's a lot of dust and dirt.
There's no flame.
No flame.
There's a lot of black and brown smoke. and it's just boom. And they don't flip through the air. They fall to the ground. You know, it's like,
the grenade thing. And what's funny is when you tell somebody, yeah, that's fiction right there. And they look like, what? Like, that's not what a hand grenade does. And or they'll see something in a documentary, like a Vietnam or you know, of Iraq or Afghanistan, and somebody throws a hand grenade, and there's this, right? And then there's dirt goes everywhere, and they're like, what about the flame and the fire?
Yeah.
Like.
Doesn't happen, boys.
It doesn't happen, boys.
I guess the biggest thing I have is this the whole tactics, the weapons handling. You know, you see these guys when they go through a building, the way they're pointing their pistols, you know, they're not covering fatal fronts. They're not covering, when they go through doorways, they lead with the gun. And it's like, so stupid.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting talking to him, you know, when he, not kind of interesting. To me, it's really interesting. That's one factor in this production. What's the number one factor? Make money. Okay? And,
oh, yeah.
And they're telling the story. So this is an aspect of it, and I think a lot of them, they don't want to be ridiculed for being stupid, right? And right. And so that's why you have technical advisors to get it, you know, to make it look real. But, like, the he was talking about, yeah, the urban 1200 meter, you know, shot. He said that's, you know, that's not easy to do. Mike, what, in fact, in terms of being a sniper, talk about the, I mean, you know, everybody reads the stories of, you know, Carlos Hathcock in Vietnam and, you know, shooting the guy on the bike and all the rest of that stuff. Most shots take place, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan or what distance?
Most shots in Afghanistan, they can get pretty far.
Right, they get longer, I mean, right? Iraq close, yeah, right? Iraq, mostly in the city.
Mostly in the city. Occasionally you get your long shot in an open area. But around, I mean, anywhere from 300 to 500, 600 yards.
In Iraq?
Yeah, and in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan,
same
distance.
But I mean, in the city, yeah, in the city it's complete. It's like urban, you know, police officers hardly ever take a shot, you know, beyond 100 yards or, I mean, so it's fairly close. And they need the precision more and they can't sacrifice because of liability, you know. That's the tough one. That's the balance. Whereas, you know, a combat guy, really, liability is not an issue there. You're just trying to put that guy down, you know, to stop the threat. I've had some really good snipers, you know, that work for us. And, you know, a few of them could take some real long shots. But the problem came into Mac is there was hardly ever where, I mean, it was rarely the case where we actually we took a shot and then we moved to that location and found a body. They'd take a shot and the person that they were shooting at no longer returned fire. So they kind of put it in the category as, oh, that's a kill. Instead of, what's the possibility? You came close, you scared the living shit out of them and then you went home.
Would you say it was probably more, well, if you go there and there's no
blood. A lot more than that.
If you go there and there's no blood trail, then, and you can, and I don't mean just finding blood, you know, you can find the indications that they've treated the area, and you say, hey, look, I don't know what happened, but look at all this. This has all been rearranged.
I mean, only a few times did we roll up on it, you know, when we got in a firefight and we got to their position, and there was only a few times where you could see evidence of, you know, field triage. You'd see some blood, you'd see gauze bandages, you'd see packaging, you'd see that kind of stuff.
All the stuff you would expect to see if somebody got hit.
Yeah. Hardly the most obvious case or the most prevailing case was the fact that we'd get there and see nothing.
Right. Right. Which would indicate, but again, those shots are, I mean, the wind's changing how many different times for that shot as it rolls down. Let's just say it's at a click. You know, how many different wind patterns?
The wind at the shooter is completely different from the wind downrange and then the wind at the target. I mean, I've seen, you know, you can see your vapor trail with the bullet leaves behind, especially in really high humidity areas like Iraq and Afghanistan. You can actually see the bullet go downrange if you're behind it and you're looking. And you can see that bullet turn, you know, move with the wind. And it's kind of crazy.
In terms of, do you guys have any kind of special, anything special to look through to track that? Or you're just talking about when, just in high humidity conditions?
You gotta know your wind. You're looking for those telltale signs, mirage, the heat coming off the ground. You're looking at, you know, grass, trees, bushes, you know, it's great if they have loose clothing on, you know. You can actually, you know, then determine the wind, and then determine your shot.
The interesting stuff. The Gunner and I talking things that we see on TV, and they're interested though. They're interested in terms of the content. And the issues that are comprised that people go through in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's interesting. Mike, let me ask you an opinion question. I saw a post by some Marines this morning on Facebook, and the post was essentially this: "Go to hell, John McCain, for second guessing the president on what happened in Yemen. You know, you're a hater. You don't like the president. That's why you're doing this. Of course, we're going to take casualties. Get a grip. You know, it's about time you retired." McCain's comments, legit, not legit? Your thought?
You know, and I watched this thing last night on the news about McCain, and I saw some people come to his thing and say, you know, John McCain's the authoritative expert when it comes to national defense, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, okay, so John McCain is famous for the reason that he was captured and he was held in captivity for many years, some of those years being in Hanoi Hilton.
Right.
And the things that he experienced were ungodly. And the things and the sacrifices that he made for this country, we will never be able to repay, you know, and I understand that, and I respect that for the individual, but that doesn't make you the guy, the go-to guy, you know, and that was a long time ago, you know, for McCain to come out today and to criticize the military and those type of things, I have a really strong, hard feeling against that, you know. Yeah. You be quiet unless you were there, unless you were involved, unless you were part of that. You know, your experiences, John McCain's experiences was as an aviator, not as a ground combat guy, not as a special operations guy, not as even a planner. He was just a pilot out on mission, got his ass blown out of the sky and landed on the ground. And his authoritative opinion that I would look towards would be, you know, the human preservation of maintaining your senses in captivity. That's the kind of guy I'd go to and want his opinion on. Not what do you think about, you know, the overall national security threat. Because you served in the military, because you know, did that, doesn't make you a qualified expert.
Okay, let me play his comments here.
My understanding of the parameters of the raid were that they wanted to capture individuals. And obviously they didn't want to kill children or women. I don't think you can, when you lose a $75 million airplane, and more importantly, American lives or life is lost and wounded, I don't believe that you can call it a success.
All right, so those are his comments that he's been he's been kind of taking the post for. I don't always agree with him. I think the point Mike and I would make is, and Mike, you speak for yourself. I don't speak for you. And we said it either earlier this week or last week. If you knew the package that these guys roll with on these kind of targets, what would be right. concerning is that somehow or other they were surprised. Because
yes.
they've got the assets to not be surprised. And that's, to me, what would have now, whether, you know, something, whether a dog barks and somebody turns and shoots somebody, that happens once you get on the ground. But to me, for a professional, the question becomes, hey, what did we not know? What did we not see? How did we miss it, given the assets that we have? And, you know, that the QRF had to be inserted, and we lost a guy, we were killing civilians. That's kind of outside the parameters of what we thought would happen. So what did we miss, and how did we miss it? To me, that's whether it's successful or not, to me, isn't as important as the postmortem is, how did this thing fall outside those parameters?
Yeah, but I think, again, you're narrowing your search. You're looking too close inwards, where we can't, it's too, in those type of situations like that raid, yeah, the loss of life, but that doesn't make it a success or a failure.
No, and I'm not using those words. That's somebody else can assign it that word. I'm not concerned about that.
It's the overall arching of what did it accomplish. You know, so if we get the information, if we stop something, if we do something with that information, that's what makes that raid a success. I mean, let's look at two instances in our history, okay?
Yep.
One of them being Gallipoli. Success or failure?
Gallipoli would be a failure.
Would be a failure because of the overarching fact.
Well, but again, Mike, I guess that depends how you know, I guess you could call Gallipoli a success because of the lessons learned out of it. So it wasn't, you know, so I mean, it depends how you rack it and stack it, whether you call it a success or a failure.
He's calling it a failure.
Yeah, well, again, that's McCain doing McCain's thing. I don't, as a professional, I don't know that we would use those words.
Yeah, but that's what the argument's about. Because someone says, well, I'm not going to call it a success, but it definitely was a failure. Well, okay. So then my other thing is, you look at Normandy. Okay.
Yeah.
Look at the landing in Normandy. Was that a failure or was that a success?
That was a success because
overall it gave us a foothold in Europe and we went on from there.
Right.
How many lives were lost? How many ships were sunk? How many planes were shot in the sky? How many tanks were lost?
Lots.
To do that, to gain that.
Right.
So you can't arbitrarily put a number to something or one thing and say, because of that thing, that's a failure.
Right.
Because of the overarching, what did it achieve in the end?
Right.
And it's too early. Well, my point is,
To be honest with you, if the juice was, and so what you're talking about is the juice worth a squeeze. So the loss of ships, the loss of life, all of that at Normandy, obviously is huge, right? Was the juice worth the squeeze? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Gallipoli, was the juice worth the squeeze?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and so that's why, to me, again, as Mike and I have been parts of these kind of things, the thing that I would tell you that is atypical about this event, the thing in Yemen is, you have the assets to pull these off pretty deliberately. You're not going in there to the unknown. It should be, if everything works right, and that's a caveat. But again, the thing I want that people need to know is these national assets devoted to this kind of an event are extraordinary. They're not typical. It's not the same as Mike rolling out with, you know, Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, 6th Marines, you know, in the southern part of Marja and going on to clear Block 11 with maybe one asset up in the sky looking at a whole series of targets for their intel section. It ain't like that. Okay, these guys have tasking
authority over satellites. Yeah. They have national assets of, you know, drones that you could only dream of.
So,
you know, hey,
this is the kind of stuff that happens. It's like, you're briefing in the morning. Oh, yeah, and this is not available. Why not? It's been retasked. Who retasked it? We don't know. Ooh, really? Now, this is like big level stuff that doesn't get retasked often, so when it does, and these guys have the authority to do that. And so that my only point would be we won't know if you can call it a success or failure, because let me just tell you, the busy part of those kind of operations is when they get back with those hard drives and with those cell phones and they start sucking out numbers and they start looking for those people, now for the next, 4 or 5 days, bam, 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 you are going after, you're exploiting, you're in the pursuit, actually. And so that event that event is just the first one of what should be a whole series of subsequent events that will happen in the exploitation and pursuit phases of that operation. And then we certainly won't know that. So anyway, for what it's worth. Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. So I think McCain calling it success or failure, I'm not exactly sure why he's doing that, but anyway. Okay, Valentine's Day, you have any big plans for Valentine's Day?
No. We really don't. We never really. For the simple fact that it's a made-up holiday to, again, suck more money out of the consumer. And like I said before, if you're waiting for that one special day to express your feelings towards the person you love, then you got freaking issues.
Whoa! Boom! Muscleman! Wow. Is that a little love advice to everybody?
Yes.
Make it rain every day. All
right. Right.
All right. I'm okay. Hey,
one day of the year.
Yeah, come on. That's bullshit. And it is a
made-up. Like I said, it's a made-up holiday, man.
Made-up holiday. There's a lot of those made-up holidays. And so it's kind of interesting. I heard one yesterday. Yesterday was like nonprofit support day. I was like, what? Yeah, today we've all the nonprofits have been together to blah, 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 blah. I said, wow, what is that? And so it's kind of like Valentine's Day for nonprofits.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Yes, sir.
Got an email for you. Mac, my favorite is relative to war movies is some of the aviation stuff that you see in them. That stuff is straight up crazy. If you did that kind of stuff with an aircraft, you would knock it out of the sky yourself. So I do get a kick out of it. There's certainly a ton of it on TV today. My question for you and the gunner is, what do you watch relative to military stuff, history stuff? I'm curious. Mike, do you watch military stuff, history stuff?
No. Movies? No, not really. If I'm going to watch any kind of movie, you know, about military, I watch, like, the old movies.
Yeah, pretend stuff. Straight up pretend.
Yeah, the straight up fiction, Guns of Navarone.
Right.
Immortal Sergeant.
Sands of Iwo Jima.
Sands of Iwo Jima. Charges of the Light Brigade, Errol Flynn.
You know what I love about Sands of Iwo Jima? I love the way I go to movies or I watch stuff to be entertained. Okay? I don't want a trip down, I don't want it like reality. That's not why I want to be entertained. So what I like about Sands of Iwo Jima is that they protect you from what was real there. Okay? They don't show it to you.
Right.
Like when Sergeant Stryker gets shot, he tips over, he's dead. He's not gasping. He's not doing all, you know, it's not real. And then, right. And then they pull the letter out and they read the letter. And then the one punk says, all right, boys, let's saddle up. Boom. And they're off. Iwo Jima, let's go. I mean, that's cool. All right. It's not to be confused with reality. And I like that now, you know, in terms of, I'm trying to think the last thing I've watched relative to military stuff. You know, it's probably, you know, the thing Matt Morgan did on the Unknown Flag Raiser. That's probably the last military thing. I don't tend to watch it. Colleen, for God's sakes, got hooked on this EOD thing in Afghanistan. And so I looked at our, like, we have DirecTV, right? And so I looked at the list, and all of a sudden it's like, EOD in Afghanistan, episode 17. So I said, who's recording me? She said, I am. I said, you are? She said, I like watching them. I'm like, so I sat and watched a couple of them with her one day, and she's asking me questions. She said, why don't they do, and Mike, they're rigging,
I've seen it.
This one episode, it's classical, like,
it
it's classic shit, though. Yeah, you know what was, to me, was goofy, that pisses me off, is that it's this, and I won't say which branch of the service it was. Yeah, I will. It's a Navy EOD unit. And they videotaped all their shit, I think, to do this. Like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
Right?
Attention horse.
Yeah. And so, but they've rigged this thing to blow, and then they're getting ready to blow it, 3, 2, and around the corner walks this Afghan cop. They're like, rah! From around this building or bunker or something. They're getting ready to blow it. 3, 2, he walked on the corner, and it's like, holy shit.
What I hate about the show, Mac, the one episode that I watched, and I just was in, I was so upset because, again, I'm not gonna talk about the two branches of military that are involved, but it's not Air Force and Marine. And, you know, so these guys go out, and they're in this FOB, in this firm base. And this village that they always go to is, you know, 10 miles away. And they go down this one road every single time, and there's IEDs on it.
Right.
So they never get to the village. The mission becomes clearing the road. And then they clear this road. They put everybody's life at risk, clearing this stupid road. And then by the time they get done with clearing this road, it's dark. And so they even said they don't like to be out at nighttime. So they leave. They go back to the fur base. They slap their butts and they call each other victory. And then the next day there's IEDs on the road again.
Right.
And, you know, so it's the same mentality of some of these people that go over there that, you commute to work and you put people's lives in jeopardy instead of if that road is so important, put people on the road. If you put eyes on the road and you shoot the people that put the IEDs on the road, you won't have IEDs on the road. Whoa, what? Really? Yeah, that's simple. It's as simple as it gets. Instead of going out every day and putting people's lives at risk, clearing this stuff, why don't you go out there and do what they call preventive measures? Be proactive and prevent them from actually doing this in the first place. Then you won't need these people. Then you can get to the village and do your mission. Or how about move your firm base to the frickin' village? How about that? That way you don't have to travel the road. Well, That's not cool. That doesn't make for, you know, well, what are we going to do then? Exactly. You know, Mac, you know, people criticize the way we did things. We were spread out so far. But you know what? We didn't have those type of problems. Because we had oversight. We had watching.
We had smart guys.
Places. And watching all the time. So you could travel pretty much, you know, freely up and down locations. It was the time where you get outside of that bubble that then that's where the threat was, because we just couldn't put any more forces out there.
Yeah, we weren't dense enough.
We didn't have them.
But we knew where those places were, and let me tell you, the way that we did it, you know, you had mine rollers, in front of lead vehicles, and there were things that, and when you were going through those areas, you knew, and so it was only, honestly, and this was one of the frustrating things that Mike and I dealt with a lot, which was discipline. When you did things the way you were supposed to do them, you lived. And the most frustrating thing for us is that, and I don't want to talk about the percentage because it's high, but the guys that we had killed in the year that we were there, a lot of them were killed, and it was our fault. It was a lack of discipline on our part. And just an example, you know, guys, you know, when you're in certain areas and you don't have a mind roller, you don't, you know, in front of a vehicle, you don't, there's certain things you don't do. And when, and if you do them, guess what happens? You get your ass blown up. Well, this, you know, IED goes off under, you know, one of our lighter vehicles, right? And the driver slammed against the steering wheel, which ruptures his aorta, and he bleeds to death. What the fuck are we doing, boys? What are we doing? Why do we have these goddamn rules? You know, do you think that we just made them up? I mean, this is what is truly discipline in combat. And if you want to get outside of it, is it worth your life? You're willing to bet your life on it? No, stop. And so, I mean, we used to do, I'd see something on video, I'd see something in an ID post-blast analysis, and again, I'm not saying this because he's on, I'm saying it because it's true. I'd find Mike, if he was around, I'd talk to him. If he wasn't around, you know, I'd wait till he got back, and I'd show him what I had, or what I'd seen, and I'd say, hey man, I got this for you. And Mike would pull the string on it, and try to, you know, talk people into, hey man, this is why we're doing what we're doing, right? It ain't worth your life. It ain't worth. But it's really frustrating that
you clear an empty compound on Tuesday, you occupy it until Thursday, and then you leave, and you come back next Tuesday to do the same damn thing, and they're watching you, and finally, then on that next Tuesday, you clear it the same way you cleared it last Tuesday. Then you occupy until Thursday, and then you leave the compound. And then you come back again Tuesday, and you realize, and then someone in their bright mind says, you know what, we've been here twice. We've cleared it twice. There's never been anything in here. Shit, why do we spend the time clearing it? Let's just get inside. And then they walk inside, and boom. And then they look at people, and they look and go, how did this happen?
Right.
And I'm standing there throwing my helmet. You know, and I'm the bad guy, because now I'm the one going, how did it happen? I'll tell you exactly how it happened.
A lack of discipline.
And then you get people that use the word, well, that's complacency. No, that's failure of leadership. Right. Remember, failure to lead will result in complacency of your Marines or your troops. When you have a weak leader, complacency thrives. It breeds. Don't blame the lowest common denominator. Don't blame the result of the bigger picture here is you have a shitty leader in charge. Look up, look outside, and then realize what you have and fix it. If you didn't see complacency in strong leadership units, just wasn't there. You could walk into a compound and everything would be clean and neat. Their living areas would be clean and neat. That means you got some guy who's an asshole that pushes people to do things that they normally wouldn't want to do, because we humans get lazy. We don't want to do things over and over. You know, shit, why do I got to make my cot? I'm in Afghanistan, for Christ's sake. Why do I got to clean this up? I'm just going to come right back to it. When that stuff starts happening, then when you start letting a little shit go, then how can you look at somebody and say, well, you know what, I'll let the little shit go because that doesn't really matter, but I'm really concentrated on the big shit. That makes no sense to me.
Well, and I'll tell you what, and Mike and I both know this for a fact. because we've seen it. When you begin to not do things the way we do them in the Marine Corps, when it's dirty, trust me, that is the beginning of cutting corners. And we decide, when we decide to pick and choose to stop being Marines and living like Marines and acting like Marines, that's when bad shit happens. And it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen once. It happens over and over, and it starts with selectively choosing what you're going to do, whether it's the way it's whether it's hygiene, whether it's wearing the uniform, whether it's briefing for patrols and after action reports when you get done with them. When you start overlooking stuff and you start gun decking stuff, that's when things get sloppy, and that's when bad things happen.
And this isn't just military 101. This is anywhere. You go into any business, anything. And when people are cutting corners in business and they're starting to do this stupid shit, and if you're involved in heavy machinery and you let safety go to the wayside and you stop wearing eye protection or hearing protection or hard hats, or you don't snap into your safety line and things like that. So when people die and people get seriously injured, it's not because they failed. It's because the leadership, someone there that was in charge of that situation, allowed that to happen. Right. That they bought into it as well.
Right. Bobby Knight has a great quote on discipline, and I want to say it goes something like this. Discipline is doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, regardless of who's watching.
Right.
And doing it that way every time. That's discipline.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, and it's hard, and there's a lot of people that don't like it. But I'll tell you what,
if you do it when someone's watching, we call you a spotlight ranger.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, but the path to greatness goes down the path of discipline.
Yeah.
And you can't be one without the other. It just doesn't work. And so,
you know,
people, it's interesting in a culture that treasures success and has disdain for discipline. The people that are successful, you watch their habits. You watch what they do. They learn discipline. Cause you can't sustain success. Like, you can accidentally be successful. Okay? You can't sustain success without the habits of discipline. And
there's societies and cultures that we look at and we say, man, those people are successful. Well, cause they have a society and culture that's based on discipline and respect. So when they have those bare commodities and they exude them in everything they do, they're going to be successful no matter what they do. They're going to be successful lawyers, doctors, bankers, successful businessmen, salesmen, because they have the discipline.
I've got an email here from a former Marine of mine. Hey sir, I'm listening. Great to hear you. Do you remember the day you played fuck with us relative to opening the radio net? Quick story. We were going to go out. We were supposed to go out and do whatever in 29 Palms, right? I go down, right? And I, as a company commander, I ought to be able to go down, look at my XO and my gunny. My XO tell me, hey, sir, we're good to go. Gunny's on the, got all the, you know, got all the logistics sustainment, you know, ready to go. I get thumbs up and I should get on my vehicle. The radio net should be open, you know, and then everybody comes on and we go. I go down there, we go to open up the radio net, and it's a simple thing, or the way we used to do it was pretty simple. The XO would get on and said, the Apache radio net open at this time, blah, 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 over. And with that, you were supposed to hear, you know, 1st Platoon, 2nd Platoon, 3rd Platoon, Weapons Platoon, Headquarters Platoon. And if the guy in front of them didn't answer up in 5 seconds, the guy behind him was supposed to do it. And it was supposed to go boom, 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 boom.
Right.
So so I get down there, and they started, and – you know, somebody doesn't answer, 30 seconds go by, nobody answers, you know, we wait, you know, people are screaming and yelling. And so I took my helmet off, told my driver to shut the vehicle down, got out, called the XO over. I said, we're not moving, all right? We're not moving. This is stupid, all right? Unscrew this. I'll be back in an hour. Come back in an hour. We go to do it again. They screw it up a second time. And I said, okay, now it's my turn. And we opened that net for 3 hours. Over and over and over in the hot sun and 29 palms, you know? And then when we got ready, when we did it the last time, I said, okay, now everybody shut your vehicles off and get your asses over here. And I chewed, I didn't chew their asses because they knew I was pissed. The point I made was this. Hey, look, these basic things got to happen without thought, okay? And if we can't do this, then the hard stuff that's in front of us, we'll never do. Okay?
Right.
So let this be a lesson. The basics, we have to be pretty good at. Okay? And Gerald Mass would later come to call it, brilliance in the basics?
Brilliance in the basics.
Right. But it's that kind of stuff. But if you don't teach it, if you don't require it, if you don't demand it, then it gets sloppy and shitty. And when you have to count on it, it ain't there. But if you do, then that translates to other things that they do. Because they know you'll play fuck with them. And nobody likes that.
Basic anything is the foundation that everything is laid on, that you build off of. So if you have a bad slab, if you pour a slab, and that's your basics, right? That's the basic foundation.
Right.
That's the slab.
It's a great analogy, Mike.
And if you cheat on that, if you can't do that right, and you're the greatest framer, you're the greatest plumber, greatest electrician, greatest finisher, greatest masonry guy, and you have the most beautiful looking house at the end, it is going to fall apart. It's going to start falling apart. And then the crazy thing is, to fix it, you have to tear it all out. You can't just go in and mend it. You have to destroy everything. Take it all out. And then when you get back to the slab, you hammer it out and you pull it out of the ground and you re-pour. Yeah. So what's more, you look at it.
What's easier to do?
What's the easiest thing to do? The easiest thing is to do the basics. That's why they call them the basics. You know, breathing is a basic necessity. Eating, basic necessity. You know, we can do those pretty well. You know, it's when you start coming into the more manageable stuff that you have to actually force yourself to do. You know, those are the things you have to do. And the basics in life, just the simple basics, take care of yourself, eat well, exercise, treat other people cordially, you know. Those human rights basic, you know, just do those every day. That's a great foundation.
And it's the path to a better place. I got an email for you.
Yeah, hey. It is exactly to a better. When you're hitting the gym and you're running and you feel good and man, it's what your sleep habits are better. Your attention is better. Your concentration is better. Your everything, because you got a great basic to build off of. Right. And you're eating right. You feel good about yourself. You make better decisions. Because, again, you're sleeping right. You're working out. You feel good. Everything feeds off of that. It's when your basics start to falter and all your whole world starts going to shit, and then you start wondering, what's the problem? Who am I blaming here? What's going on? Start looking at yourself.
I've got an email, and then I'll let you go. Mac, I'm laughing. I can recall days as a platoon sergeant playing fuck with my squad leaders because they couldn't get counts right. They couldn't get ordnance items right. I expected to be able to walk out there, them to have lists, people, ordnance items, and be able to give me a thumbs up and be ready to go. And I expected those things to be accurate. That, to me, was the basics. That's the way I got trained. I was expected to know, not expected to guess or to speculate. I was expected to know down to the gnat's ass who I had, who I didn't have, the guys I didn't have, who was responsible for them, the whole thing. That was not my platoon sergeant's job. That was my job as a squad leader. And my guys, when I got back, it wasn't that way. I would walk out and look at them, and they would give me the shrug and say, well, I'm not exactly sure. And I had to stomp that out. I don't know how the hell they got raised in the Marine Corps like that, but they did. And it took me maybe a month of playing fuck-fuck with these guys every day till they became quality fire team leaders and quality squad leaders. And I could walk out, they'd give me a thumbs up, and they'd hand me a list, and off we'd go, and I could count on that. And if there was changes to it, they would let me know. But it was amazing to me how this standard, which I think is pretty basic, can get away from us. And it was a great lesson for me about the basics. Enjoying the conversation. But it's amazing, Mike, isn't it? I mean, when you don't enforce those things, it's amazing how fast they go away.
Yeah, your ship will be ridden with rats, man. And then there's nothing you can do with it. So you gotta start.
One more email. Hey, Mac. Enjoy the show. I'm not even a Marine, and I can tell you it's like that way in every facet of life. It gets so much more difficult in the civilian world when you walk in and people can't tell you who's here, what time trucks are running, who's responsible, and it's horrible. I'm proud to say that I hire mostly vets for that reason, and specifically Army and Marine Corps veterans, because they seem to be a little bit more acute in terms of getting stuff done and being accountable. I wish the civilian sector embraced it more, but sadly we don't, and I don't have time in my job to teach them. Veterans are great hires for those reasons. You can ride those guys hard. You can tell them what you want, and they'll deliver it. They know it, whereas a young kid has no idea the level of detail that you need. Enjoy the program. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, Mike.
Yeah. That's all I'm seeing is commercials of flowers. And
exactly.
You know what? Yeah. Why stop cutting down flowers and plants and stuff to give to somebody, because they're going to die in the end.
What?
You know, symbology, if you're giving them something that's going to die in the end, then what's the symbology there?
Give a cactus then.
Yeah, give them something that's going to last a lifetime.
You know what? I used to be of that mindset, but I was cured from it by people saying, no, it's the thought that counts, and they're beautiful, and they smell great, and girls like them. So it's not about what you want. It's about what they want.
Then do it all year long.
Okay, no, you know what?
All year long.
You know what? You're right about that. Do it all year long.
Don't let one day dictate you to you.
Yeah. Don't let one day tyrannize your life. All right.
Yeah.
Now, you got any big plans for the weekend?
I do. We're going to go see a movie.
What movie?
John Wick 2. Huh? Which is funny because we were just talking about this, you know, the taxes stuff. But you know what? I actually enjoy watching that show. Why? It's fictional. Because it shows bad guys getting what they deserve. But more importantly, is the tactics and everything else that's used by Keanu Reeves, which is not a great actor, but he's done it right. He's got great people that have worked with him, and the way he handles weapons, the way he does reloads, the way he shoots, the way his body moves, is the way you're supposed to do it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
it's actually an enjoyable movie to watch. It's very hard to pick something out and go, oh, that's not right. I don't think there is a point in the movie that you watch that.
Wow. Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You found a movie. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're going to be happy.
Yeah, for a little bit. And then, just so you know,
what?
Mac, I started painting the models.
Yeah!
So I did that yesterday. I started painting the model. Yeah, so I was laughing painting it. I was like, oh, man.
Finally,
I gave in to peer pressure.
Finally get my dead, and that's part of the reason he didn't go do it, because he didn't want to give in. But finally get my dead ass out there and do what I'm supposed to do, man. Get that model done. All right, man. On Monday, we got to talk about Mike and I are going to start doing a couple of segments together. And and kind of a survival, but like a half hour piece that we'll do on a weekly basis, and another piece, you know, kind of called Guns Are Fun, and you know, kind of exploiting some of Mike's expertise about just the wide cultural issues, technical issues, anything related to shooting, be they weapons, be it archery, or just the hobby of it, the culture of it, all of that. So we'll talk about that too. So kind of cool stuff, and that we'll have a good time with. Well,
All right, man.
Have a good weekend. All right, you too. Thanks.
Okay.
There you have
Bye.
It. The Gunner painting. We love that. It's about time that model got painted. All right, my thanks to In the Order of Appearance. In the Chow Hall, the All Marine Radio Show. Kim Holmes, Kimbo as he's known. You can listen to that here in a few minutes. And then Steve Seeker. Yeah, talk to us about what it's like to work in Hollywood. Hollywood Marines, man. We love those guys. Now, it's interesting, you know, just the balance in that business. You know, the technical part is one piece of it, but they're telling a story, there's a budget, and there's other considerations. And so, interesting to hear that and about that business. And then Michael Musselman, the gunner, who served with Seeker when he was a sergeant. Funny. Marine Corps, small place. Anyway, have a great weekend. On Monday, let me tell you what we're going to do. Justin Constantine's going to join us. We'll talk some current events with Justin. Always an interesting guy. Jerry Durant, back from Colonel in the United States Marine Corps, veteran of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam. Not too many of those guys around. But he's just back from Iraq. So we'll talk to Colonel Durant, and then the gunner will join us. So it should be an interesting show. And then Jack Paxson from the Marine Corps Combat Correspondents Association will join us on Tuesday, along with Matt Foreman. I think he's captain type, but wrote an article about innovation in the Gazette. Josh Goldberg is going to join us on Wednesday. He from the Boulder Crest Retreat. So we'll talk about that again. So it should be a cool week coming up here on All Marine Radio. Pretty exciting. And then following week, you know, Colonel Barney Barnum, Medal of Honor winner, is going to join us. And Lieutenant General Boomer Milstead is going to appear someplace in the mix. So cool stuff. Brigadier General Roger Turner is going to come on. He yelled at me the other day, "I've been tied up." I'm like, "Yo, Lieutenant." Yeah, I taught him when he was a lieutenant. "Yo, Lieutenant, don't forget it. I know who you are." Anyway, have a great weekend. All Marine Radio on a Friday. Out.